The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. Hope you enjoyed our visit with the Purdue head coach, Jeff Brohm. Coming up at about 11:30, 11:35, St. Louis Sports Hall of Famer, a new recipient, a new honoree, Bill McDermott, will be in studio. But right now, it's our pleasure, as it is every Wednesday, to chat with Derek Gould from the Post-Dispatch. Derek, great to be with you. How are you?
I'm fine, Frank. I can safely say that has never been the bump music for me before.
Well, we try to make it a little bit different. Are you a Motown fan at all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, are there people who are not?
Yeah, very well stated. Yes. Yeah. So much to discuss here. It's 10 out of 12. It's 11 out of 14. It's four in a row. Let's first talk about this offense. It really has, since the second half, been out of sight, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been improved. It's been a lot like more of what they wanted, certainly more of what they needed in the first half, though it's coming from places they didn't expect. A lot of it from Paul DeJong, some here recently from Jose Martinez, who's had an excellent second half, and then, of course, Yadier Molina duplicating what he did last year with a strong second half, especially when you consider his time either since Carson Kelly arrived or since the whole Instagram flap that happened. So you got two guys who they didn't expect to have prominent cornerstone parts of the offense, but they're both in it. And, you know, and then you're mixing in guys like Matt Carpenter, who, while his batting average is not what he wants it to be, his on-base percentage is every bit what he wants it to be. So he's finding a way to get on base. And Dexter Fowler, when healthy, has been strong. So you're seeing centerpieces that you didn't expect, and you're seeing the guys who you did expect starting to produce like you expected. So this is the offense they thought they'd have, and really what cost them in the first half and exposed all their other flaws.
Every time I say or write something really positive about the future of Paul DeJong, immediately people will say, well, look what happened to the shortstop from last year. What makes you think that DeJong has legs and this is not a flash in the pan or an aberration and he's going to be pretty good for years to come?
Well, first I would say that folks are probably dismissing the shortstop of last year a little too readily. You know, I mean, there's a cautionary tale there, absolutely. But it's not entirely on Alemus. Alemus has, you know, he made improvements. He struggled, but in some ways he took the brunt of the offensive struggles that we just talked about, and he was demoted as a result of a team that was struggling as much as he. I mean, when he was demoted, he did lead the team in hits. He did lead the team in doubles. He was moved around a lot in the lineup while other guys were not. So I understand that there's a cautionary tale there, and there are some similarities, right? You know, you look at how infrequently both of those guys walk. You look at how frequently they produced in their rookie seasons. Those two things are similar. I would add that, you know, Paul DeJong already is a superior shortstop than Diaz. He has really improved his game and taken to that position. That may not be where he is long haul, but the glove is good enough to help him find another position or stay at that position, even if the bat kind of struggles a little bit. I think you're seeing a very studious talent as well, a guy who you see have, all right, well, he's a downturn or he's into a slump or he's really fatigued, and then he snaps back to it. He's able to minimize struggles with adjustments as well as some guys who have been around the league for 4, 5, 6 years. That's something that you hear guys like, like Colton Wong, who's been around for a little bit, or young David Freese would talk about this, like how do you shorten the slumps? And I think that's what stands out to me as giving DeJong staying power, is he's already doing that. We see evidence of him really nipping struggles in the bud.
What do you think has a better chance of happening next season, that Carlos, or that Jose Martinez is your everyday first baseman, or that Tommy Pham is your everyday left fielder? What's more likely to happen?
Tommy Pham is your everyday outfielder.
Oh, outfielder. Okay, good.
Yeah.
You know, I asked Whitey Herzog about how he would handle
unless
the center.
Unless you were trying to get a trick question past me.
No, I wasn't. That was good. I asked Whitey Herzog about that. How would he handle if Pham was the better fielder, but you've signed Fowler to be a center fielder, and it means a lot, I think, to him to play center field. He says, I wouldn't care. He goes, I'd play the best guy in center, and I'd explain why I'm doing it.
Yeah. It's a lot easier to do at the start of a season than during a season.
Yeah, well put.
Yeah.
So with that said, what if this Martinez thing continues? I mean, you think there's a realistic chance you'd go into next season as him as your everyday first baseman, and you either play Carpenter at third or you move him for another piece?
I think that would speak to what the other pieces were. I think, what Jose Martinez has done has solidified a role on this team, in the sense that he's shown that he can play a position for a stretch if needed. If there's an injury and he has to go out there and play first for a while, then that's an excellent piece to have. It's right-handed, kind of Matt Adams type. And we saw some strong Septembers. What he's doing now isn't all that different than what Matt Adams did, a few years ago, or what Alan Craig did a few years before that, when they get a run of playing time because of injury and they take off. And that helps the team because it has depth. But, Adams did that and didn't want a starting job, really, or didn't hold on to it. And so I think you always have to keep that in mind. And it's so contingent on the other moves the Cardinals make, right? If they can get an upgrade at first base via trade, would they not want to do that? Would they hold back if they can get an outfielder who then shuffles somebody else elsewhere, but then leaves first base unoccupied? Then you could see, okay, well, they'll go into it with Matt Carpenter at first base and Jose Martinez is an option. If they get another third baseman who can be that middle of the order hitter, I think, the Cardinals have said, and, fans and those of us with credentials should hold them to it, that they don't necessarily want to look for replacements. They want to look for upgrades when they make moves this winter. And that's where this team is at. It doesn't have that signature fear factor, iconic middle order hitter right now, and that would radically change the look of this team for the future. And if that player plays first base, should the Cardinals say no?
All right.
That's the question. Do you think they should?
No, not necessarily.
Yeah. I mean, if you get a middle order hitter to play first base, I think that you go, okay, how much?
Yeah. I wonder if Martinez's bat does have legs and it looks legit. I don't know about him being an everyday outfielder. I like him a lot better at first base.
Yeah, he's improved tremendously at first base. He's really put the time in. And him in the outfield, I mean, the Cardinals are replete with outfielders. They're doing well in that regard.
All right, let me move to the closing situation. I wonder how involved they'll be with Nicasio in terms of trying to sign him as a free agent in the offseason, and does it make
pretty
some sense?
Involved.
They like him a lot.
They've liked him for a while, and if he had reached free agency, he would have been the guy that they would talk to and try to move fast on, like they had with Cecil in the previous year, I would imagine. Now they just get a head start.
Boy, and you could have Lyons and Alcantara setting him up. That's not a bad way to begin a season.
Or Dakota Hudson, Jack Flaherty out there, not too bad.
Speaking of Flaherty, let's just say he's not good tonight. Would Adam Wainwright get the ball in 5 days?
Good question. That's interesting. Boy, It would have to be discussed. Yeah, they would talk about it. They would. Boy, that's not exactly the friendliest place to make your return, but beggars can't be choosers at this point. And probably better to face the Reds than to push it off another stretch and have it be the Cubs. Four of the starters are going to face the Cubs. You're not going to be able to hide everybody in that home series, especially with so much on the line. So, it would have to be discussed, and then you'd have Flaherty and Wainwright to attack the same game. That's how you would look at it.
We all remember the brilliant baptism of Michael Wacha, but I'm wondering, mm-hmm. if you factor in the completeness of Sunday, was that the best you've ever seen Wacha?
This is the best I've ever seen Wacha, yes. This is the most, like, I think you used a good word there. This is the most complete. This is Michael Wacha, where he has more than just a pitch to surprise hitters. He's not somebody new. He's somebody to contend with. He's not somebody to figure out. He's someone to worry about, and that's a difference. He's got two pitches he did not have in 2013, and you can see how, when his timing is right, everything for him still revolves around fastball command. If he's got it, then he can do so many things. But, you see now hitters gear up and recognize, all right, well, here comes the changeup, and I can just ignore that. Nope, that's the curve. You're out. And you can see, okay, well, here comes that fastball. I got to find a way to elevate it. Nope, that's the cutter. It's in on your hands, and you just ground it out. And the way hitters are reacting to him speaks to what he's been able to do. It's still around that bedrock of fastball command. That's going to be the story of his career, and that's not unusual. That's 87% of pitchers, right? Very few pitch backwards, but for him, it's so essential. But right now, he has other things to go to, whereas he had the fastball, but hitters were ignoring the changeup, then he had nothing. But now we see so much more. And I think complete is a good way to describe complete, healthy, strong. Any of those things apply. And I think this stretch here that you've seen from him is, man, it's as good. And then you see Luke Weaver pitching the way he is, and that's like Wacha in 2013. So you can see similarities in what Weaver is doing now, but also where Weaver has to go in the future to maintain this strength.
Well, you just mentioned two of them, and we know what kind of run Carlos is on right now, and Lynn has been sensational. Let me ask you, Derek, if you could have one of the two teams to manage, now granted, the one up north has a two-game lead, which of the two teams would you rather have here?
I always follow the pitching, and the Cardinals have better pitching at this point. Now, the Cubs have a wild card in Arrieta, right, which they probably are going to be eager to play against the Cardinals this weekend. He was out throwing yesterday. He's trying to come back from a hamstring injury. They have bet coy as to when his next assignment would be. If he feels comfortable after throwing, you could easily see him being tossed into the mix for this weekend as somebody to throw against the Cardinals, which they'll want to do. But I always follow the pitching, and right now the pitching is on the side of the Cardinals.
Well, so
and actually it has been all season. This has been their strength. You and I talked about it at spring training. I think it was for Channel 5 or maybe even for this program here. But the Cardinals went into this season recognizing that they weren't going to have the kind of lineup to score runs like the Schwarber Bombers up north, which hasn't happened. But, when you're all projecting it out, you're like, well, Schwarber and Addison Russell and Rizzo and Bryant, I mean, they had the potential to be, to have an MV3 emerge from up north. That didn't happen. But going into the season, it sort of looked that way. And the Cardinals said, well, if they're going to keep up, better have better pitching. And they felt they had better pitching than whatever the Cubs could cook up there.
So you're not exactly a cheerleader, but you're saying that you believe that you believe the Cardinals are going to make the postseason is basically what you're saying. And they're going to win the division.
I think you follow the pitching. They have better pitching. I didn't say win the division, but I think they have the pitching to get into the postseason. The Cubs have a two-game edge. The Cubs only have to play 500 ball here to win the division. The Cardinals have to play 667 ball to catch them. That's a big difference. I mean, the Cardinals have to close 22-8 to surpass the Cubs if the Cubs play 500 ball. That's all. The Cubs just have to play 500. They've done that all year, like the Cardinals. So the Cubs just have to be themselves, and they win the division. The Cardinals have to be something they've never been. So I think that two games edge is important. But I do think the Cardinals can make the postseason because there's another way to catch a playoff berth. And the Cardinals have the better pitching right now than the two teams ahead of them, meaning the Rockies and the Cubs. One of them will falter.
Yeah, but if you look at that Rockies schedule, and certainly the way they've played now, that's a pretty conducive schedule to winning a lot of games. Plus, that lead is 3.5 on the Cardinals.
It is.
Yeah.
But they don't have the pitch. I mean, you know, that's where the pitching edge comes in. I mean, I think the math plays out where the Cardinals will have a shot to get in because they can play better than one of those teams. They just have the pitching to do it. You know, the Rockies, they'll go into series here coming, and I know, like you said, their schedule is favorable, but they'll go into series where they don't have the edge in a majority of the games pitching-wise. The Cardinals will never say that. The Cardinals will go into every series from here on out with the edge pitching-wise.
Mm. All right, good stuff. Derek, honored to have you on the program. Thank you so much, sir. We'll see you at the ballpark.
All right. Thanks, Frank. Have a great day.
All right, Derek Gould joining us. Brian's going to tell us about a big wiffle ball tournament coming up, but I do want to tell you about Winning Streak. Got on the phone the other day with an athletic director at a high school and who's considering using Winning Streak. And he asked me, so what do you think? I said, well, you know what? We use it at Channel 5. We use it for some of our select teams. I wear it all the time. I think they're the best. And he says, what about the service? I said, they're second to none. They come to you. They get you fitted. They bring it back to Dupo. And then they deliver the uniforms. I mean, it's a no-brainer. If you need uniforms, if you need a polo shirt, if you need pullovers, if you need gear for select teams, there's only one place to go. It's Winning Streak. Go to their website. Find out more information. What about the big wiffle ball tournament?
Introducing, Frank, 5-9 of the Fan's 4th Annual Charity Wiffle Ball Tournament, benefiting Birdies for Bipolar, and is presented by Bud Light, DB Sports Bar, Gold's Gym, Country Financial, and 7-Up. The 4th Annual Wiffle Ball Tournament will take place on Saturday, September 30th at Francis Park in South City, starting at 10 a.m., You can sign up your team of 4 players today on InsideSTL.com. It's only $150 per team. It'll include round-robin group play with winners advancing to the knockout championship rounds. Barbecue beers, mixed drinks, and water will be available for purchase, all from our friends over at DB Sports Bar. Sign up your team today while you still can. And even if you don't want to play, maybe you don't have the time, you can stop on by for a little bit. Enjoy the pony. Watch wiffle ball. Have some drinks at September 30th at Francis Park.
All right, and then one more before we go to break. I was having lunch with Randy Albright. He's going into the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame, and my friend Bob Frischman yesterday. And he said, well, how did your kids really get good at golf? Like kind of a shot at me, you know. They say it skips a generation. But I said basically what we did was we went to Gulfport 3 or 4 nights a week. Actually, we went to a gym 2 nights a week and then Gulfport about 2 or 3 nights a week. We'd go there. Because it was convenient, you know, it's in Earth City there, or Maryland Heights, I should say. And with that Page Avenue Express, it's a breeze to get there from St. Charles or from out here in Creve Coeur, anywhere in Kirkwood. It's an easy drive. And we used to go there because they had this humongous range. And they had two great hitting areas with great grass. And Dale Boggs, Carol Boggs, they run it. And it's just a great place to just hit balls. And Dale is a tremendous teacher. Work with Brooke and Alex. And then sometimes Dom and I would just be by the batting cages. They have batting cages where they have, like, real arms. I mean, not literally real arms. But you know how batting cages have this little machine. It just kind of shoots out. Well, actually, you'll see the machine. It has this arm so you can time your swing a little bit better. It's just one of the great places to go. The dogs, cutter, and tee shot, some of my favorites out there. They're unbelievable. If you're looking for a place to hit golf balls, hitting baseballs, or play a little putt-putt, there's only one place, and that is Gulfport of Maryland Heights. Go to their website for more information. Okay, we will take a short timeout. When we come back, we're going to be joined by the one and only Bill McDermott.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.